Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, I'm in some need of your therapy after what we saw from the Titans in Cleveland over the weekend. Just brutal. And my overall theme, my overall question of the day is, when can we start pointing to Mike Vrabel for all of these lingering issues? The offense was bad last year. Offense is bad this year. Offensive line was a problem last year. Offensive line is a problem this year. When do we start pointing at the coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time. I mean, and I think that this is all really set up, you know, going back to a year ago when, you know, midseason and John Robinson is let go. I mean, I think at that point, it's kind of like, all right, like, there's no question about where it, you know, it goes from there. And so, yeah, I think that it's, you know, just, I think the time is now. And I think that it's not like anything has changed through three games. I think that was the case going into the season and sitting at 1-2 and having two performances that were, you know, subpar, especially by the offense. I think that it's, I think that's definitely where the attention should go.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Looking at that game against the Browns, I mean, there's a laundry list of problems that we saw in that game. But if you could pinpoint one thing, maybe the biggest thing that you you looked at to be an issue in that game, what do you think it would be?
Oh, shoot. One thing? I mean, I think ultimately...
Throw them all at us, Tim.
Deshaun Watson.
Well, look, I mean, here's what I would say. But I would say this on Watson, you know. So it obviously feels like a get-right game for him. You know, he has the one horrible play that everyone wants to point out. But, like, truthfully, like, he looked like he used to look. And I really believe it was kind of a matter of time for that to happen. I mean, I've kind of felt like, you know, there was a – like, he was too good to never get back to playing a little bit better. Like, that's – how I've kind of felt about that. Now, look, the ball only hit the ground six times, you know, on 33 attempts. Like that probably, you know, that can't happen. And I think the other side of it, you know, Ryan's right at, you know, 50% completion. And so I just think, like, in a league where, look, some guys are flirting with 80% completion, you know, over stretches of games, to be hovering around or below 50%, you know, in two separate games, like, that's just not good enough. It can't happen. And so I think you got to find a way to manufacture guaranteed completions, extensions of your run game. And so, like, I would point to those two things as things where I'd say, look, they're completing way too many of their passes. You know, for a team that isn't exactly, you know, we're not dealing with, you know, the greatest show on turf. And then on the other side of it, you know, like, why is it such a battle for us to not be completing more of our passes? So if you were asked to be like, hey, what's the most disappointing thing? Look, I think that, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, them scoring close to 30 and the Titans, you know, not even scoring a touchdown.
Tim, do you look at that game as a game where it showed the Titans, at least from an offensive standpoint, and the defense didn't play well either. I know the Cleveland only rushed for like 40, 50 yards, somewhere around there. But for the most part, the defense didn't do what they needed to do. But was this a game, you believe, that honestly showed the Titans that they have a lot of improvement to do?
Yeah, I think you got a long way to go if you look at who you are as a football team right now in this conference, right? Like, and I think that if you were to just say, and look, not everyone's been perfect. I mean, heck, like, look, everyone in Baltimore right now, like, they need a therapy session as well. Because they're like, wait a second, we just lost to Gardner Minshew? Like, wait, what just happened? Like, I thought we had this revamped passing game. Like, what happened to that? Like, our leading ball carrier was Lamar Jackson again with 14 carries. Like, wait, what just happened? So, look, it's not to say that everything's been perfect for everybody. But I would just say, look, the idea is to be at the top. The idea is not to be like middle of the road in the conference. And when you look at Miami, and when you look at Kansas City, it's like, whoa, like it feels far. And then, like, there might be some other ascending teams. You know, maybe it is Cleveland. Maybe, maybe it is somebody else. So I just – look, do I think that it showed kind of how far you have to go? Yes, I do think so, because I think the top is the top. But I also think that there are some other teams that are doing some soul-searching as well. Jacksonville soul-searching. As I said, Baltimore. Look, I think that, the Chargers maybe feel like – things are looking in the right direction, but man, they got lucky on that one. So, it's not perfect everywhere else either.
Now, Tim, you mentioned Tannehill's completion percentage, and some quarterbacks, and listen, it's the really good ones that hover around that 70 or 80%. We saw what Tua was able to do. We've seen Mahomes, and you just named the rest of them, but. How do you think Tim Kelly is doing as a coordinator? If you ask me, I think he's doing a good job. I don't think it's bad, even in the losses. But how do you evaluate Tim Kelly up until this point?
Yeah, I think the challenge is when you just start to look at, like, all right, are you scoring points? And you've got three outings. And, the reality is in those three outings, I think it's fair to say that it's been uneven at best. And so – look, I'm not big in saying, like, hey, I'm making a full indictment after three games, because I do think what can happen is you can play some teams. Like, I would say this. I think New Orleans has a good defense. Like, they lost to Green Bay this weekend, but the truth of the matter is, like, Jordan Love was under – I mean, he was 9-21 at one point. Like they were well under – and I think he ends up throwing it 44 times or something like that. And he kind of gets closer to 50% completion percentage. So, like that's a good defense. So I think, like, we might learn a little bit more about them. And look, you go score 27 against what we think is supposed to be a good defense the Chargers have. Cleveland, look, I think that it's fair to say that Jim Schwartz has done a good job with that group so far. So, I think, like, to say – hey, they need to be scoring more points and the offensive coordinator isn't doing his job, or like, I think it's too early for that. I would say this. I do firmly believe, like, there is a part of me where, like, you got to complete more passes. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not always an indicator of wins. I've had some coaches when I've met with them say, like, look, if we get the magic number for us is 24, we complete 24 passes, like, we like our chances. Like, I'm not going so far as to say there's a number of completions, but I do think you need to complete a higher percentage of your passes to consistently be good on offense. And I think some of that falls on the offense coordinator.
More with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
Tim, as we discussed last week, you were giving us your assessment of Joe Burrow and the calf. It was interesting knowing what you told us last week, how they tried to go about it last night. I thought Dan Orlovsky was very good at sort of pointing out his limitations, but they made it work last night. So what did you see from Burrow and how they tried to get the winning formula last night?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, he's so good at escaping. I think that's one of the things that, honestly, that makes him a different player than most quarterbacks. I think he's outstanding. I think it goes back to his college days at how good he is at creating. I thought after his ACL injury, I thought it might be something that limits him. I truly believe that's what makes him, special. Now, he's also good from the pocket. And I think a large, reason, a big part of that is he's got good receivers, guys that win. And so, yeah, I thought that there was like an effort to understand, like, hey, I'm going to play a little bit differently. And I think there are a lot of really good quarterbacks that can kind of do that. Like, I just remember Peyton Manning would play maybe with like a little bit quicker clock if he felt like, you know what, we're not holding up in protection. And, you know, I felt like there was a bit of a almost like that kind of feel with how Burrow played, like knowing that I'm going to be a little bit more stationary.
He didn't run the ball at all. His passer rating was 59.8 last night. So he said after the game, I thought it was interesting. He goes, I'm hoping to get better each week. He was clearly limited. And you could tell. It's like he couldn't. I think Orlovsky pointed out that they were in shotgun almost every play. They couldn't do the play action, it looked like. So is this may be a good time for the Titans relative to when you would normally play Joe Burrow. Of course, they played him last year. They didn't have Chase, right? They still couldn't find a way to win.
Yeah.
But it seems like if you're going to play the Bengals, this is not a bad time to play them.
It's a great time to play them. Look, they were also, like, as soon as he would come off the field, they were wrapping his calf in heat, you know, as soon as he came off the field. Like, I don't think it's any secret that it was like he's far from right. To be honest, like, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to force him to move. You know, like, it's great when you come in and have a plan and we're going to live in shotgun and the ball's going to come out quickly and, you know, we're not moving the quarterback and stuff. Well, what I would say is, all right, what can you do to force him to move? Because sometimes there's just a reaction by a quarterback. And, you know, you just look at, you know, the two times he's been injured, you know, going back to the video that we saw him during training camp and then the re-injury at the end of the game, you know, I guess a week and a half ago. Like, sometimes it's just a reaction where you put your foot in the ground and you just try to escape some. So, you know, I think a lot has been made of, you know, and people got to be careful with how they say it, of like, you know, you're not trying to injure a quarterback, put him out of the game. But, like, if you force him to move, you might end up forcing him out of the game.
Very curious to see what the game plan is, especially knowing that the defensive backs for the Titans did not have a very good game against the Browns wide receivers last week. So what will that look like against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? Very, very big game coming up. I want to ask you about the Jet situation, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're in the position of Robert Saleh? Like, in that town, in that, I mean, I don't know. What is the move?
Well, it seems like they're, before you say that, Tim, it seems like they're going to bring in Trevor Siemian. Once he passes the physical, they're going to bring in Trevor Siemian.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how much of an upgrade that is, Tim.
It's been their plan all along.
Exactly. I don't know how much of an upgrade that is, Tim, but there you go.
Yeah, here's what I would say about it. I think a couple things. Is one, I think there, right when this happened, I think that there was a way to say, look, we're rallying around Zach Wilson. Like, we're doing that. And you're able to do that and be like, what? Look, like, Zach's been hurt. You need more than one guy. We're also going to protect ourselves with somebody that's played before in the event that, you know, he, you know, jams his, you know, index finger following through on somebody. Like, I think you could have done that right from the jump, right? Like, everyone remembers the Dick Vermeil, like, we'll rally around Kurt Warner. Well, like, guess what? Like, they were trying to figure out what else was out there too. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we're doing that no matter what. Like, they were doing that until it didn't work. And so what I would have done at the time, I would have rallied around Zach Wilson, but I'd have found out what the deal with Jameis Winston was. And quite honestly, like, because you waited and now Derek Carr's got a shoulder issue, like, now the Jameis thing's done. I would not go the route of Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz. Like, I'm looking at guys that are on the roster. Listen, Gardner Minshew maybe would have been somebody that I would have been saying, hey, what's the story with Minshew? Like, what? Like, where are you guys with him? So I think that I would have been more interested in guys that were on rosters. And I think that by waiting, I think that you put yourself in a worse situation, because now you're not, Minshew's not available, Winston's not available. And so I think you can kind of go down the list. I'll give you another guy that I would have been very interested in. I don't know if they would do it, but like Mike White. Like Mike White, who's now with the Dolphins, he's their backup. He played for, you know, the Jets a year ago, and there were some good moments for Mike White. So like, I just think that there are guys that, like, let's find out, you know? And I think by sitting around and waiting, you're not helping yourself with that opportunity.
Yeah, because the only thing that's going to happen, Tim, is the locker room is going to get more divided and divided. And you're going to have it at the end of the season. If this thing doesn't turn around, you're going to have the offense versus the defense. Because the defense field, they're carrying, you know, a bulk of the weight, and the offense is not doing what they're supposed to do. And mind you.
Can I say this, too? Yeah, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Aaron got hurt, okay? Mm-hmm. It's different now, right? Like, you don't have one of the best quarterbacks ever, okay? Like, all right, that happened. But here's what you got to do. You got to say, Zach, like, we're not protecting you with how we call a game. We're not doing, like, we need you to grow up fast. And so I don't think you essentially, like, scare the quarterback away from making mistakes. Like, they're going to happen, even with Aaron as your quarterback. Like, they were going to happen. And I think part of what coaches do, especially defensive coaches, okay, you turn to your backup, and now you scare the chunk out of the backup into, like, hey, you can't ever make a mistake. It's like, don't coach somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be like saying, like, all right, D-Mace, like, you're going to shoot 10 foul shots. And every time you're about to shoot, I'm going to be like, hey, don't be short, but don't be long. And, like, whatever you do, don't, like, miss to the left. But, like, the right's a bad miss, too. Like, don't coach somebody like that. Like, don't do it.
You're coaching them to mess up. Yes. Sean Payton. Is his words coming back to bite him in the rear end? Because it looks ugly over in Colorado with the Denver Broncos. And are we potentially, even with that massive contract, are we potentially seeing the end of the Russell Wilson experiment?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sean's got his work cut out for him. There's no question. Those comments are looking really bad now. Look, I Russ has had some good moments so far this year. You can't give up 70, though. I mean, like, the amazing thing to me is I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, they gave up 70. Could have been way worse. I mean, like, they called the dogs off. And, shoot, even Mike White, you know, threw a touchdown late. Like, so it wasn't only the starters. The other thing is sometimes I feel like when you get some of these crazy games, it's like, oh, you know, it was 70-50 or whatever. No. They beat them by 50. It was 70-20. Like, these things don't happen in the NFL. So, you know, that was shocking to me. I will say this. I do think Mike McDaniel right now, in terms of how he's calling plays, is a step ahead of everyone else, much like Andy Reid has kind of been at times. I don't believe, after seeing this weekend, believe that Russell Wilson's the biggest problem. I think, like, just kind of like looking in the mirror and figuring out who you are at kind of every level of that team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is kind of the bigger issue that Denver needs to address. And look, I do think that it's making some of those comments on Nathaniel Hackett look worse and worse.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, the AFC South, I mean, the Jags drop a bad one to the Texans, give up 37 to the Texans. Is the AFC South more gettable than you thought it was maybe this time a month ago?
Totally. Because I feel like I've seen some plays from Trevor where I'm like, man, that's really good. Really, really good. And then you see him, you know, like this past week, and you're like, they can't find the end zone. I mean, it's just wild how you can't get in the end zone. And so, like, this team that we kind of, or a lot of people, myself included, thought would be the best, certainly has not been. You know, I do think the Colts, especially when Richardson comes back and his ability to be a runner, probably a little bit further along than I thought that they would be. I think the Titans have not been as good as I thought they would be. I don't think Houston's going to be a very competitive team. I don't. But look, they just, you know, won a division game. So, you know, obviously they're, you know, they're not as far removed as maybe I and others thought they would be. So, yeah.
The old formula of, oh, just beat the Texans and the Colts twice, you'll be 4-0 right there. There's four wins right there.
Super easy.
But, listen, I remember being on with you guys at various times, and it's like, you know, we were at week four, and we're like, hey, whoever loses this division game is done. Put a fork in it.
Right.
You know, then you look at the end of the year, and you're like, yeah, someone's trying to, you know, hovering around 500, somebody's going to win the division. So I do think that whatever it ends up being, you know, I do think that you may not need to get to 10 wins to win the division.
That's
music to Mike Vrabel's
hear.
Ears right there. Hey, yeah. We could win this thing and win a 9. That's basically what it was last year.
Yeah. It's also like saying that like makes me sad, you know, like thinking of the emotion of being like, you know, like, woo, all right, you know, like this is where we are.
Not great. But hey, we'll take it. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by. Always appreciate our conversations with you. We'll chat with you next week.
Hey, I'm glad to do the first interview without getting asked about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. That's a
I was definitely not going to ask you about
what's going on
that.
Between those two?
No, man, I don't want to hear that.
Excellent job for you guys. I just want you and your wife to go with them for Halloween. That's all I want.
That's our only request. Yeah. I will say I've gotten
Can you imagine? Like, what is the percentage that you go to a Halloween party this year and you don't see somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to see it. You go.
It's
going to
be
in
every single one. Probably multiple forms.
But it should be, will they be still a couple then? Over, under?
Give me the
under. There you go.
A week before Halloween or a week after Halloween?
I just want to know when Willie has to start growing the mustache. That's
all I'm having. Tim, you're the best. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
All right. The more important Kelce Swift is Jason Kelce and DeAndre Swift. Like, let's be real here. That's the more important Swift-Kelce duo. Heard a little bit of a breakdown on the Bengals in Joe Burrow, where the Bengals are right now. Titans' next opponent. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.